हरिः
सहनवतु सहनोभुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावरीतमस्तमविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 11. Sri Sukadev Goswami continued, "Thereafter, O King, the Manus, being fully engaged according to the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, directly reestablished the principles of occupational duty in its full four parts. To enjoy the results of sacrifices, yajñas, the rulers of the world, namely the sons and grandsons of Manu, discharged the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead until the end of Manu's reign. The demigods also share the results of those sacrifices." Srila Prabhupada comments. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.2, the supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. This parampara system extends from Manu to Ikshvaku, from Ikshvaku to his sons and grandsons. The rulers of the world in the line of hierarchy execute the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the parampara system. Anyone interested in peaceful life must participate in this parampara system and perform yajñas. As Gaudiya Vaishnavas in the parampara system of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we must perform Sankirtan yajña all over the world. Yajñai Sankirtana Prayer Yajanti Hisumeda Saha. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.32. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this age of Kali, and he will be easily satisfied if the Sankirtan movement is spread vigorously all over the world. This will also make people happy without a doubt. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued. Indra, King of Heaven, received benedictions from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus enjoyed highly developed opulences, maintains the living entities all over the three worlds by pouring sufficient rain on all the planets. In every yuga, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, assumes the form of siddhas, such as Sanaka, to preach transcendental knowledge. He assumes the form of great saintly persons, such as Yajñavalkya, to teach the way of karma. And he assumes the form of great yogis such as Dattatreya to teach the system of mystic yoga. Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 8. For the benefit of all human society, not only does the Lord assume the form of Manu as an incarnation to rule the universe properly, but he also assumes the forms of a teacher, yogi, jnani, and so on, for the benefit of human society. The duty of human society, therefore, is to accept the path of action enunciated by the Supreme Lord. In the present age, the sum and substance of all Vedic knowledge is to be found in the Bhagavad Gita, which is personally taught by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the same Supreme Godhead, assuming the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, expands the teachings of Bhagavad Gita all over the world. In other words, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, is so kind and merciful to human society that he is always anxious to take the fallen souls back home, back to Godhead. So the Lord, in the Manvantara avatar, then he's there. The Manu himself, the avatars that also then come around that to make everything work very nicely. So all these aspects are there so that people can take up God consciousness. That's the whole purpose of the whole system. Right? System's not for something else. The material world doesn't have actually another purpose. Its actually purpose is that. Of course, people don't want to do, but you know, that's the whole point. Is that's the Lord's work here. So he teaches the different methods by which you can elevate yourself. But the foremost, then, of course, is bhakti. So all these others can be used, but they're never considered on the same platform. Being engaged in the Lord's service, then they become perfect. But it's only that engagement that makes them of value. Otherwise, then, you know, they'll get you somewhere, but it's not necessarily that you'll get the supreme benefit from them. But at least the idea is you're following in line. You have faith in authority, right? So that's the central point. If you don't have faith in authority, like it mentioned about the parampara, the whole system won't work. So that must be there. But if you're not interested in God consciousness, then at least you have faith in authority to follow the processes of karma, jnana, or yoga. Right? And by doing that, at least you're following the Vedic system. Then if at some point there is an interest, right, by Agyata Sukriti, by the association of devotees, then you can take it up and it works very nicely. Because if you don't have faith in authority, then the system is very, very slow. Because the point is, Krishna is the supreme authority, and then his authority descends down through, you know, the universe. Yes.
Can we technically say that all the devotees, they do have faith and authority because they joined the movement?
Yes.
But still then we see that some people, they have problems with authority.
Means there is, that there's an absolute they can do, it's just everything in between them and the absolute they have a problem with. Like that. But otherwise, you know, it's there. But the difficulty comes up is that either it means the replacement of authority with one's own speculation, mental speculation, right? That there's one's own idea of what actually should be done. And Prabhupada says this and that, but then there's the idea of, okay, that's okay, that worked back in the 60s, but now it's just so different now, right? And so therefore, you know, you can't apply all that. But then that means that those who are saying that can only see secondary aspects of secondary. They can't even see primary aspects, because the point is the stock market, the Western stock market, you know, started with the Romans. And so then if we're going to go by this thing, then the stock market is archaic, but seemingly strange. The whole world economy seems to work on that, you know, like that. So this whole idea is that people can't see principles, not even in the secondary. They can't even see the principles that make the secondary work. And so therefore then just seeing the external, it's actually the mode of passion. Like Krishna mentions, that mode of goodness is seeing all living entities as equal because you see them all as spirit soul. Mode of passion is you see them as different. That means these, you know, you may accept that they're souls, but this group of souls is, you know, has one, you know, is good, and these group of souls are not as good. Right? So that's it's mode of passion that creates this. So even though there may be that element of faith and authority, but then there's the attachment to how you could control and enjoy. Because of that, then that element of passion, then it makes it where you can't actually understand what's right and what's wrong. But it's generally thought, oh, you can't tell what's right and wrong, that's mode of ignorance. But actually, that's mode of passion. Mode of ignorance means what you're doing is wrong. Like that. That's just not caught.
You know? We would say the businessman is a mode of passion. Right?
Yes.
So on the mechanics, he knows what is to be done. He wants money, he gets money.
Because he's looking for options within making money, and that aspect will work nicely there. But now what's his training when you shift that over to ashram? Then it's just where I can get profit.
He's on his third.
So then, yes. Yeah. So then that's a... I think you're being liberal, right?
I mean,
yeah, you don't want to be too extreme.
Right?
You don't want to be too extreme. Okay, so then... No, liberal meaning you're being kind.
Oh, like that.
Not liberal meaning
yeah,
that you're, you know,
yeah,
that I'm saying liberal
yeah, yeah.
That is third,
yeah.
Not fifth.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the whole difficulty. And because it works, the mode of passion works very nicely there, then it shifts. Because when you apply mode of passion into your occupation, yes, of course, it's going to create trouble, but you expect trouble in occupation. You work hard. But in ashram, you don't expect any trouble. So when they apply the same principles in ashram, it doesn't work very well.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, the dissatisfied. Being dissatisfied, naturally, where are you going to put your effort? Where there's more satisfaction? So into varna. So therefore, the person who puts all his effort there, is successful there, he's the front man on the whole social, you know, status. But the point is he's making all that money, has all that facility for what?
Yeah.
Right? There is no life.
No.
And then if there's no life, how is there going to be God consciousness? Mm. Right? Because it's the living entity who's God conscious, not your job. Right? You know? It's not that, you know, all those stacks of rupee notes, you know, that Mahatma Gandhi is the one that's, you know, remembering Krishna or something. So therefore, by keeping that good association,
yeah,
then
yeah,
you're...
It's all about the association.
Yeah, yeah, you know. But you just have to make sure is that whoever's on your bill is God conscious.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, that's yeah. All. It's a good udipa.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So it's like that, you know. At least, you know, Mahatma Gandhi, Bhagavad Gita and all that. Yeah, so then, you know, like that. So I'm not so sure about Benjamin. Yeah, he was, you know, though, you know, they're theistic, but they were deists. Yeah. That's the problem, you know. So therefore, this whole point of the parampara system, and that the manus are performing their duties, and then they're the descendants of them coming down in the line, then they're all, that's their duties. The manu's duty is to see to the proper performance of sadharma in the universe. And Krishna then appoints various persons to establish that. And despite that, still here we are, you know, and not so interested in God consciousness. But the point is you can imagine what it'd be like if that wasn't there at all, right? If everyone was just allowed to do whatever they want, then you'd have, you know, how you say? You know, how you say? Lord of the... how you say? One would have to accept that as authority, right? Yes. Yeah, maybe more directly than his thought. As we said, England was half Danes, and then, you know, they worked it out and this and that. So actually, even though they'll say that they're not Danish, they actually have that mood.
Where does all that red hair come from?
Yeah, true. Mm-hmm. At the same time, the Scots have so much red hair.
No, yeah, but we started up there. And then worked.
Oh, really? Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. Scots and Danes, actually, mentality is quite... It's a sense of humor that works in Scotland that doesn't work in England, and also found it on that.
Okay. Mm. Interesting. Okay. To speak loudly because you have competition out there.
The Lord comes in the form of the Tatra also.
Yes.
Dattatreya is very widely worshipped in India.
Sorry?
Dattatreya is very widely worshipped.
Yes.
Yeah. So then, what is the destination of the devotees of Dattatreya?
What did he say Dattatreya does?
Mystic yoga.
Okay, mystic yoga. So then, wherever you can get by mystic yoga.
But they worship in
they worship him as Vishnu, then like that, then they can get themselves to Vaikuntha or get material benefit. Depends what's their purpose in worshiping as Vishnu. You have to remember, Daksha also worshipped Vishnu as Vishnu. Does that make sense? So, worshipping the Lord as Vishnu, that's not the main point. Worshipping the Lord as Vishnu with devotion. Now, that's what we're trying to do. That's why it's being said about all these different processes are there. But these processes, they're only valuable in how much they support devotional service. So even if you're not performing any of these other processes, if you're only doing devotional service, that will work for you. Does that make sense? Sri Sukadev Goswami continued, in the form of Prajapati Marichi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead creates progeny, becoming the king. He kills the thieves and rogues, and in the form of time, in the form of Prajapati Marichi, Supreme Personality of Godhead creates progeny. Then, becoming the king, or as the king, he kills the thieves and rogues. And in the form of time, he annihilates everything. Right? You know, so what the king hasn't taken care of, time will get everyone else. Just as we're sitting there laughing at them, then. Yes. All the different qualities of material existence should be understood to be the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So we're bringing out this point more and more, how to see the Lord in everything. But now, before it was, we're starting from the material perspective and looking forward. But here, as we're starting with devotional service and looking back at the material world, how nothing, it's all a support for Krishna consciousness. You understand? That's how it's been switched. Like, not because on 8th canto, because in 2nd canto, though that was the point that was being made, but the presentation, it appears as, okay, you're in this position, understand how Krishna is everything, how he's everywhere. Right? The universal form, the creation, all these different aspects. But as we come here now, it's all about devotional service and the personality of Godhead, and then how he is everything. Right? So the difference is how is everything is Krishna, or how he is everything. Yes, but it's just switching. So it's that aspect of Achintaveda Veda Tattva. Right? It's just a matter of... Footnote 2. Prajesha refers to Marichi and others. The kings refers to Manu's sons. He becomes aging in order to destroy. All qualities such as fat and thin, aging and senility arise from the Lord. Sardarta Darshani 8:14-9. So everything's coming from the Lord. So whatever is there, then you take that position, be God conscious. That's the real thing. You can't do something else. Right? Okay. People in general are bewildered by the illusory energy, and therefore they try to find the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality Godhead, through various types of research and philosophical speculation. Right? So that people in general. So if that's what you're doing, you're just part of people in general. So in other words, Vaishnava, that's special. And everybody else is just people in general. We generally take it, okay, Shudras are people in general, right? But actually, it's if you're not a devotee, that's people in general. Because you're interested in karma and jnana. That's what everybody's doing in the material world. You know, it's nothing new, nothing special. Okay. Nonetheless, they are unable to see the Supreme Lord, right? Despite all their research and philosophical speculation. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on verse 10. Since the Lord is able to perform all these activities just by His will, what is the use of all these separate persons endeavoring? Though the Lord is defined by many knowers of Scripture who are bewildered by Maya with many names and forms, with philosophies like logic, He cannot be seen. This means that though His actions are glorified, the Lord's intention is hard to understand. Right, his position, who he is, he's glorified, but actually what the Lord is doing, what is his desire, that's what's not understood. Right? Because you see, like we're saying, so many personalities, they respect the Lord. But the whole point is, what's the Lord's purpose in the universe? That's not understood. So then people are taking up all kinds of varieties of activities that are not actually beneficial. You know, they get you ahead in the material world, but the point is at some point that where, you know, he comes as, how you say?
Time.
How you say? Time with the, how you say, as Vedanta Sutra says, the sauce of death. And then as time, he eats everybody. Yes. Srila Prabhupada adds, whatever actions or reactions take place for the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this material world are actually brought about by the one Supreme Person. There are many varieties of philosophers trying to search for the ultimate cause under different names and forms, but they are unable to find the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who explains in Bhagavad Gita that He is the origin of everything and the cause of all causes. Aham Sarvasya Prabhavaha, Bhagavad Gita 10:8. This inability is due to the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. Devotees, therefore, accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead as He is and remain happy simply by chanting the glories of the Lord. And so they don't bother with so many other things. They're just absorbed in the devotional process of hearing and chanting. So if we're hearing and chanting about the Lord, are we not learning all the technical things of philosophy and all these things? Yes, but it's because we're hearing about the Lord. It's not that we're studying philosophy and analyzing what's the absolute truth. No, general people in general are doing. Right? We're doing devotional service. All the benefits that come from philosophical understanding is already gained. Right? That's the whole point. The person does his occupational duties because that's the direction of Krishna, to please Krishna. He gets the benefits of those occupational duties. But it's not about the occupational duties and their benefits. It's about the devotional service. So it's just accepting that everything can be devotional service if it's seen in connection with Krishna. Not, oh, everything can be done. Okay, now I can do whatever I want. That's not what it's talking about. That is, it's about, I see everything according to the Lord's version in relationship to the Lord. One of the chapters, no, in Second Canto. About something according to the Lord's version or something. Yeah, so there's one is that, in other words, how Krishna sees it. Using that as the template, then that's how we go. And then the acharyas help us to understand that.
You establish that shabda is the way that you see things, shabda, then aruma, and then production.
Yes.
And then here it's just taken for granted. It doesn't come up. You
know? Yes, no, because we've already discussed that at length.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that. Yes, that's the whole idea. Is that because otherwise when you get to the 10th canto, you can't be going, oh, but how can Mother Yashoda, why does Mother Yashoda, why can't she go out in the field? Why does she have to sit at home
liberated?
All day? You know, yeah. It's like okay. Yeah. So you don't have to worry about all that kind of jazz. Because you have to understand, on one level, you know, on the social level, she does control Vrindavan. Right? So, she's doing fine. Sri Sukadeva Goswami concluded, in one kalpa, or one day of Brahma, there take place the many changes called vikalpas. O King, all these have been previously described to you by me. Learned scholars who know the past, present, and future have ascertained that in one day of Brahma there are 14 manas. So by the looks of it here is that you have the kalpa, that's one day, and then each of the 14 divisions, that's a vikalpa. Okay. And so this is those learned scholars, then they have understood this. So he's speaking in this line. So he doesn't, it's not that he's speculating this, he's simply speaking on authority. Conclusion. The eternal occupational duty of the human being is to serve Krishna. As we saw, that's what the manu's business is establishing. Because Jivar Srup Hoy Krishna Nitya Das, that's the position of the living entity. Right? But in Kali Yuga, only one fourth of religious principles remain. Right? So then there's an anxiety sense. Dharma means the eternal occupation, Sanatan Dharma is what should be done. Because we're servants, but then if we take the word dharma, then in Kali Yuga is only one quarter of dharma is being practiced. So then the difficulty comes up is how we're going to be engaged in the Lord's service. Right? So Sanatana means eternal and dharma means occupational duties. The end of Kali Yuga, the principles of religion or the occupational duties of humanity are almost lost. Indeed, in this Kali Yuga, we've passed through only 5,000 years, yet the decline of Sanatana Dharma is very prominent. The duty of saintly persons, therefore, is to take up seriously the cause of Sanatana Dharma, try to reestablish it for the benefit of the entire human society. Right? So turn the tide on the advancement of Kali Yuga, not to just say, oh, it's Kali Yuga, what can I do? Right? Because we only say that if it's going in a direction we like. Yeah, you know, what can we do? You know, it's like this, the kids are like that, what can you do? I always find that interesting, right? How come the kids aren't being, you know, they're doing this particular activity, which is a modern activity. No, but everybody else is doing it, what can we do? It's just the society, you know, it's the modern society. But you're living on a farm where there's only devotees, there are no karmis here. You know. Yeah. Okay. The entire Kali Yuga is full of faults. It is like an unlimited ocean of faults. But the Krishna conscious movement is very authorized. Right? So that means anything within the material, we're saying, oh, what can you do? That's all false. So one is riding the waves of the faults of Kali Yuga. So it's not glorious. Right? But by the Samkirtan movement, everything becomes corrected, because what's actually wrong? It's the mentality. Because the activities, those can still go on properly. It's the mentality that we think this activity can't be done or shouldn't be done. Right? Yes?
The thing is that usually when there's the ocean of fault and everyone follows modern, people think it's proper. But when there's devotional service, and because devotional service is taken to be like something that should be spotless, when there's one little mistake, the whole thing throws out.
That's there. That's what we mean by conditioning. Because conditioning, then you accept your situation for all its good or bad, right? You know, that's a standard thing. We accept, you know, either the family or individuals or a country or an ideal, you know, despite all its faults and everything like this, right? So, but as you said, we'll only do that in connection with our conditioning. If it's not our conditioning, then we do not have. We don't appreciate, right? Because, oh no, there's a fault here, it's all right. But everything's got a fault in it. So the point is connecting to Krishna, that's what makes it perfect. Okay. So it's just a matter of adjusting the mentality that we have adjusted so that we're comfortable with this whole point of it's about Krishna, that's what makes it about, all right. And if it's not about Krishna, then no matter how wonderful it is or how many people say it's great, it's still not all right. Because it's God's creation. It won't work anyway. So when we adjust like that, then it works out nicely. Because even you take the modern, see the thing how it works, what's interesting, is that the modern, there is no one standard. There's a few things that hold it together, the pranamoic principles of being tolerate of others and accepting everybody and everybody's equal. But what is equal, you know, or what you're tolerant, there's no standard of. That's why in the modern society, in the way of where you're not addressing or accepting authority or tradition, there is no community. They call themselves a community because when they speak the pranamoic principles, then they have community on that level. Yes, everybody should be nice, equal, good. There's community on that point only. But after having that whole get-together and that rally, when they walk off, where they're going to go eat, what they're going to do, how they deal with each other, is going to be totally different, and one group would not like the other. That's guaranteed. You know what I'm saying? So, actually, in practical application, there's no community. Because there's such a wide variety, there is no standards at all. So it's whatever you feel, whatever you think. So basically, it's just like, what's his name? Our friend, the foolish Pujari. You know, our Calcutta Walla. Huh? Yes. Yeah, Ramakrishna. Whatever path, ujato mat tato pat. However many ideas there are, there's that many paths. So we think, oh, this is modern, this is that. Ramakrishna was talking about that, you know, about 100 years ago. You know, so it's like, or even more. They were way back there. You know, so I'm saying these stuff have been around for a long time. Right? And according to Bhavishya Puran, he and Vivekananda are two associates of Lord Shiva, part of his gunas. So that means they've been saying this stuff for even longer. Right? Because it's like the variety of gunas is so huge that they won't get along. So you have to, okay, we're all cool. Lord Shiva, you know. So yeah, so it's for those in the mode of ignorance, then that's your philosophy. You know, so it's not so, oh no, but this is the newest, latest, cutting edge. No, this is as old as, you know, it doesn't get older than that. You know what I'm saying? As far as the mundane, it's always been there. Is that what I said? Okay. It is like the... But this Krishna conscious movement is very authorized. Now, if the inaugurators of this movement strictly followed regulated principles and spread the movement for the benefit of all human society, they would certainly usher in a new way of life by reestablishing Sanatana Dharma. It says new way of life, not new occupational skills. Mm-hmm. Right? The eternal occupational duties of humanity. Right? So, what human's supposed to do, so one's is... What you do to make a living is one thing, but what you do as your lifestyle is the other. So the whole package. That's the whole idea. Yeah, so now it also, if the inaugurators of this movement, so Prabhupada's given the teachings, now if we take it and apply it, we'll be successful because it's authorized. If we don't apply it, it won't work, and we'll get nothing. So that's the whole point. You train. That's how the top works. The top works by explaining and training on that level. But the practical is done by who's down from there. And then they train. And then down from there, they train. It's down from there. That's the method. Therefore, this is the purport of Sanatana Dharma. Sanatana means nitya or eternal. And Krishna Das means servant of Krishna. The eternal occupational duty of the human being is to serve Krishna. This is the sum and substance of the Krishna conscious movement. So that's it. We're serving Krishna. Then we engage ourselves on so many levels. Okay, chapter 15. Bali Maharaj conquers the heavenly planets. Okay, so Bali Maharaj will now go for the rest of the canto. Okay, cool. Pratigya. The blessings of the spiritual master are more powerful than one's personal endeavor for spiritual advancement. 28 per point. Chapter 15 summarizes questions and answers. Maharaj Prakrit asked Sukadeva Goswami 15.1 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Question 15.1. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the proprietor of everything. Why did he beg 3 paces of land from Bali Maharaj, like a poor man? And when he got the gift of which he had begged, why did he nonetheless arrest Bali Maharaj? I'm very much anxious to know the mystery of these contradictions. That he's the supreme, he owns everything, but he's begging for land. Even though he was giving it, still he gets upset and arrests him. So it doesn't seem to make sense here. Srila Sukadeva Goswami gives a reply to question 115, starting with the current chapter and throughout the remainder of Canto 8. Adhyaya Prakashika. This chapter describes how Bali, after performing the Vishvajit Yajna, received the benediction of a chariot and various kinds of paraphernalia for war, with which he attacked the king of heaven. All the demigods, being afraid of him, left the heavenly planets and went away, following the instructions of their guru.
This happened after turning of the ocean, he was defeated, he went back, and then he did it again?
I'm not sure what's the timeline of this, because sometimes...
It's after.
So this is after the churning of the milk ocean.
Bali Maharaj dies and Shukracharya revives him. So then he performs yajna following. He follows whatever Shukracharya says to perfection.
Oh, okay. So this is after.
So this is chronological.
Yeah, though sometimes it goes back and forth because there's stories about Nrisimhadeva, I think, in which fourth canto or Jaya and Vijaya come in fourth canto. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like that. So that's the beginning of the story, and then you have more of the story in the seventh canto. So, yeah, so sometimes it'll be chronological and sometimes not. So the mano is how it's going through that is. Because this whole, you know. Maharaj Prakrit wanted to understand how Lord Vamanadeva, on the plea of taking 3 paces of land from Bali Maharaj, took everything away from him and arrested him. Sukadeva Goswami responded to this inquiry with the following explanation. In the fight between the demons and the demigods, as described in the 11th chapter of this canto, Bali was defeated and he died in the fight. But by the grace of Sukracharya, he regained his life. Thus he engaged himself in the service of Sukracharya, his spiritual master. The descendants of Bhrigu, being pleased with him, engaged him in the Vishvajit Yajna. When this yajna was performed, from the fire of yajna came a chariot, horses, a flag, bow, armor, and 2 quivers of arrows. Bali Maharaj, Maharaj Pallad, Bali Maharaj's grandfather, gave Bali an eternal garland of flowers, and Sukracharya gave him a conch shell. Bali Maharaj, after offering obeisances to Prahlad, The Brahmanas and his spiritual master, Shukracharya, equipped himself to fight with Indra and went to Indrapuri with his soldiers. Blowing his conch shell, he attacked the outskirts of Indra's kingdom. When Indra saw Bali Maharaj's prowess, he went to his own spiritual master, Brihaspati, told him about Bali's strength, and inquired about his duty. Brihaspati informed the demigods that because Bali had been endowed with extraordinary power by the Brahmanas, the demigods could not fight with him. Their only hope was to gain the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Indeed, there was no alternative. Under the circumstances, Brihaspati advised the demigods to leave the heavenly planets and keep themselves elsewhere, somewhere invisible. The demigods followed his orders, and Bali Maharaj, along with his associates, gained the entire kingdom of Indra. The descendants of Bhrigu Muni, being very affectionate to their disciple Bali Maharaj, engaged him in performing 100 Ashwamedha yagyas. In this way, Bali enjoyed the opulence of the heavenly planet. Shloka Anusharana, verses 1 to 11. Bali Maharaj set to attack the capital of Indra. 12 to 22. Description of King Indra's city. 23 to 36. Bali Maharaj attains Swarga and the Devatas flee in fear. Right, so, I mean, so much for, you know, do all your things, get to the heavenly planets, enjoy yourselves and that. There's always always something going wrong. Yeah. Okay. Verses 1 to 11, Bali Maharaj set to attack the capital of Indra. Maharaj Parikit inquired, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the proprietor of everything. Why did he beg 3 paces of land from Bali Maharaj like a poor man? And when he got the gift for which he had begged, why did he nonetheless arrest Bali Maharaj? I am very much anxious to know the mystery of these contradictions." Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, "O King, when Bali Maharaj lost all his opulence and died in the fight, Shukracharya, a descendant of Bhrigu Muni, brought him back to life." He's in the line of Bhrigu, Shukracharya. "Because of this, the great soul, Bali Maharaj, became a disciple of Shukracharya and began to serve him with great faith, offering everything he had. The Brahmana descendants of Bhrigu Muni were very pleased with Bali Maharaj, who desired to conquer the kingdom of Indra. Therefore, after purifying him and properly bathing him according to regulative principles, they engaged him in performing the yajna known as Vishvajit. When ghee, clarified butter, was offered in the fire of sacrifice, there appeared from the fire a celestial chariot covered with gold and silk. There also appeared yellow horses like those of Indra, and a flag marked with a lion. A gilded bow, 2 quivers of infallible arrows, and a celestial armor also appeared. Bali Maharaj's grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, offered Bali a garland of flowers that would never fade, and Shukracharya gave him a conch shell. When Maharaj Bali had thus performed the special ritualistic ceremony advised by the Brahmanas, and had received by their grace the equipment for fighting, he circumambulated the Brahmins and offered them obeisances." But so here, we don't have to get into the details of the yajna and everything, because connecting it to Krishna, that we've always heard before in the 5th and 6th cantos. And all that. So now we're just connecting the story. Right? Yes.
This would be Kamyak yajna.
Yes, this would be Kamyak. But it still could be done in the proper attitude of Krishna consciousness. Like you could say the Rajasuya or the Ashwamedha, these are Kamyak. But it's being done in full Krishna consciousness. Same with Prithu, Priyavrata, Rishabdev, Bharata. So the same kind of yajnas are being done. But they're doing it in full Krishna consciousness. So, but here, then that's not necessarily brought out so much.
Because it's all about weapons and it's about victory, actually.
Yes.
They may want to...
Yeah, because otherwise, you know, he's fine down where he is, but, you know, why he wants the heavenly planets, but, hey, that's part of the fun. You know, in other words, Indra and the demigods have done something wrong, so therefore it has to happen in some way, so Bali Maharaj is the instrument, though it's not necessarily he gets the credit, you know, for being, you know, assistant of the modes of nature and how they're carrying on. No, he just is. Yeah.
That's not how that works.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking both Prahlad Maharaj and Bali Maharaj, they're both devotees, quite advanced, as we've seen before. But somehow or other they fight and, you know, they kick out demigods.
The kings. That's what kings do.
So it's not a problem, it's not a contradiction.
No, it doesn't seem to be. There's some plan of the Lord, so why this works like this. That's the thing, is that the Vedic system has that it can accommodate so much broad variety of material desire as long as you follow the system. But when you want that material desire without following the system, that's cheating. That's the difficulty, is that one has desire for position or fame or wealth or whatever it is, but you have to follow the Vedic system. And since you're doing that and working so hard, why not connect it to the Lord at the same time? You know, then it gets... So we see as here, Bali Maharaj may be a great devotee, but we see his glory comes out after the pastime of Vamana Bhakti. That's when we see then his real position. Okay. So, because it's not getting down into all the little details. It's just this is what's happening. Because I'm sure that there's some details of why. But that's, you know, that's Mahabharata kind of level. Here it's, you know, just enough to know that it's going on.
Because if we look from the side of the demigods, they're also devotees, but Bali Maharaj gives them a lot of, you know, trouble.
Yeah. I mean, somebody's got to do it, right?
Okay.
Otherwise, they'll just go on in their sense enjoyment and completely forget the Lord. So the point is when these things come up, they always have to remember the Lord. That doesn't mean that as a devotee you think, okay, I'll harass everyone in the community so that they can remember Krishna, and in this way I will do. Yeah, that's not a post hope, and, you know, leave that to Bali Maharaj. Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Can we say this positions they got is because of their piety, and because Bali Maharaj also gained the equal piety, so there is that competition always?
Can be. I mean, he is in a more developed position than Indra. And the thing is he is following the Brahmins and has the blessings while they're not. Otherwise, then Brihaspati would have said, no, but you've been doing everything so nicely and all that, so you have the same prowess or greater prowess. So the point is after the battle, then they just went back and had a good time. Right? You know, that's the common thing. After the war, then it goes insane, right? You had World War I, then you had the Roaring Twenties, right? You had World War II, then you had the 50s, right? You know, so that's the whole thing, is you have that. So the demigods are going into that, while Bali Maharaj has been properly worshipping the Guru, doing everything and everything like that. And you see this happens many times. So the point that's being brought out is that if one respects the Guru, one follows properly the duties, that you get benefit for. But if you don't, you don't get the benefit, even if you're great personalities like Indra and the other demigods.
Prabhu pointed out about the harassment of the demigods. Just because of their mundane consciousness.
Prahlad Maharaj makes the point, as soon as you have material desire, misery comes along with it. So since they have material desire, it's a problem for them. Are they bothering the individuals on Brahmaloka or Tapaloka? No, they're not bothering anybody on Satyaloka.
They cannot get there.
That's another thing. But it's even Hiranyakashipu. He doesn't worry about them. Everybody only wants up to Indra. Because that's meant for sense gratification. Above Indra, it's not meant for sense gratification. It's meant for self-realization. It's like, you know, who wants to take over that? Yeah, yeah. You know, it's not like, what is it? You know, there's that, I think it's an island in Greece. It's a monastery. Small island. But on this island, then there is only men. Even the animals, they only have male animals. So there's no female animals, nothing. And, I'm not sure what they can do about the birds, but everybody else, they've taken care of them. You know, so it's like, is anybody fighting over this place? He says, no. You know, that's not a point of dissension on who's controlling this place. You know? But I want to bring in male aardvarks. You know? Yeah, no, it's not. It's not a... So that's the thing. It's only up to Indras. That's what they want to control, because it's elevated. It has more facilities. It actually has sunshine, you know, like that. You know, you get tired after a while of the artificial light. You know, so it's like, you know, how long can you stay in a mall before you go nuts, right? You know, so I guess that's why they want to go up. You know, fresh air. You know the whole thing.
Good for us.
Good for health, yeah. Not so good for the demigod's health, but... okay. When Maharaj Bali had thus performed the special ritualistic ceremony advised by the Brahmanas and had received by their grace the equipment for fighting, he circumambulated the Brahmanas and offered them obeisances. He also saluted Pallad Maharaj and offered obeisances to him. Then, after getting on the chariot given by Sukracharya, Bali Maharaj, decorated with a nice garland, put protective armor on his body, equipped himself with a bow, and took up a sword and a quiver of arrows. Then he sat down on the seat of the chariot, his arms decorated with golden bangles, and his ears with sapphire earrings. He shone like a worshipable fire. When he assembled with his own soldiers and the demon chiefs, who were equal to him in strength, opulence, and beauty, they appeared as if they would swallow the sky and burn all directions with their vision. After thus gathering the demoniac soldiers, Bali Maharaj departed for the opulent capital of Indra. Indeed, he seemed to make the entire surface of the world tremble. Verses 12 to 22. Description of King Indra's city. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, King Indra's city was full of pleasing orchards and gardens, such as the Nandana garden. Because of the weight of the flowers, leaves, and fruit, the branches of the eternally existing trees were bending down. The gardens were visited by pairs of chirping birds and singing bees. The entire atmosphere was celestial. Beautiful women, protected by the demigods, sported in the gardens, which had lotus ponds full of swans, cranes, chakravakas, and ducks. The city was surrounded by trenches full of Ganges water, known as Akash Ganga, and by a high wall which was the color of fire. Upon this wall were parapets for fighting. The doors were made of solid gold plates, and the gates were of excellent marble. These were linked by various public roads. The entire city had been constructed by Vishwakarma. The city was full of courtyards, wide roads, assembly houses, and not less than 100 million airplanes. Not less than that.
Yeah.
Right? At least that.
At least.
The crossroads were made of pearl, and there were sitting places made of diamond and coral. Everlastingly beautiful and youthful women, who were dressed with clean garments, glittered in the city like fires with flames. They all possessed the qualities of Shama, footnote 3, a woman whose body is very warm during the winter and cool during the summer, and who generally has very firm breasts, is called Shama, Sardartha Darshini 8:15-17. Yeah. So that's a quality as you go up. It's considered a very good quality, because in the winter when it's cold, then the touch is warm. In the summer when it's hot, the touch is cool. Like that. So interacting is always, you know, very, how you say, appropriate. You see, heavenly planets are like that, and the spiritual world are like that, and Vaikuntha mentions the gopis are like that, so it seems to be a very proper quality. Yes.
Excuse me, why it's so often mentioned that women in the green sari, like Mahim was in green sari, here is the ladies in green sari, it's pretty normal to be in green clothes, why it's mentioned in the so often? Or it's like something high class.
But how do you define clean? It means for the occasion, then they're wearing something there. So if it's during the morning, they're wearing something. In the evening, it might be something different. No, the point is clean. So cleanliness is very important. So even though it's the heavenly planets, it's all about sense gratification. Okay, let's take for example. let us say you are going somewhere, you're on vacation, you stay in a fancy hotel. How clean do you keep the room? Yeah, so then they'll keep it very clean and nice, because that's the whole point. The cleanliness, the orderliness, that's what's attractive. Not that I used every, I got my money's worth, I used every square centimeter of the place and made a total mess of it. You know, I mean, that's one way to approach it if you're thinking that aspect. But the point is the lifestyle is clean. It's always orderly, always organized and everything like that. That's the principle. Excuse me.
Each of them, two huge bags. They would come to the hotel. First of all, their bags were more than everybody else's. And so many people were there, getting there all the time. And then two bags, and then when they were getting out of the hotel, their room was so, like, all the things were outside. Okay, are you in the mattress? You go out and you put your feet. And then you know that next question, that's two Americans.
Too
many buttons. If I will, that's all. Put it out. Because too many. You know, 3-4 buttons that they have already put on. They were flipping out. They moved back.
Looks like Lawrence, no? Okay, we're on. Yeah?
It doesn't have
poles. Oh, it doesn't. That's wild.
Keep
old. Oh, I see. It's not that pause is for, you know, wimps or something. You know. Yeah, that's right. So you can see is that whatever they do, it's all according to the scriptures. It's all they're how they're building their cities. You know, they have the walls, the moats, the how the place is organized, set up, Vishwakarma, because it's all done according to Vastu. You know, even here is that you have all the beautiful women, they're all protected by the demigods. Though they're all out there out sporting and this and that, but they're taken care of. So no one's not taken care of. Everybody's dealing with each other properly. Right? That's the point. It may or may not be Krishna conscious, but at least it's all materially proper according to scripture. Yeah. So it's all pious. The breezes blowing in the streets of the city bore the fragrance of the flowers falling from the hair of the women of the demigods. So that means, yeah, so that's, they're following that tradition. They always put flowers. Apsaras passed on the streets, which were covered with the white fragrant smoke of agaru incense emanating from windows with golden filigree. Wow. Jolly work made out of, that's gold. Right? You could get pretty fine work if you do that. The city was shaded by canopies decorated with pearls. That's interesting, filigree, because that's that real fine work, you know, so all designs and all that, so it'll be like a screen, you know, so people can't see in, but at the same time it'll let in air and light and everything like that, so.
Nice.
Yeah. The city was shaded by canopies decorated with pearls, and the domes of the palaces had flags of pearl and gold. The city always resounded with the vibrations of peacocks, pigeons, and bees. And above the city flew airplanes full of beautiful women who constantly chanted auspicious songs that were very pleasing to the ear. The city was filled with the sounds of mridangas, conch shells, kettle drums, flutes, and well-tuned stringed instruments all playing in concert, right? So they were all in, it was all nicely tuned. There was no one out of tune. Right? So... there was a constant dancing with, and the Gandharvas sang. The combined beauty of Indrapuri defeated beauty personified. No one who was sinful, envious, violent towards other living entities, cunning, falsely plowed, falsely proud, lusty or greedy could enter that city. The people who lived there were all devoid of these faults. But so that's, yes.
We see sometimes these things kind of pop up in the demigods, don't we? Yeah.
Outside of the city.
Yeah, that's outside.
Oh, outside. Okay.
In the city.
Okay. So they can cool out outside the city.
No, but the thing is, lusty, it doesn't mean that they're not engaging the senses, but it doesn't have that element of lust. It's a matter of what is the position, what's the relationship, what's the situation, that kind of thing.
It's not a style.
No. that's the points where the fine difficult. So now we're starting to introduce. Because before it would give a little bit, it wouldn't go into so much detail. The ability is the difference between the engaging the senses in the mode of goodness and that in the mode of passion or ignorance. So it's very different. It's the appropriate time for appropriate situations like this. Then it's there. It's not that they're all sitting around, you know, it's like all the guys are sitting, you know, here he said, what was it, the crosswords are made of pearl. And there were dozens of young men sitting around, leering at the very beautiful girls walking by, right? It doesn't say that.
No, that's not.
Yeah, yes.
Doubt will be then about Indra. This Agastya's wife, wasn't it last?
Was it in Indrapuri? No, but we're just saying couldn't there. But the point is he transgresses the rule. Means this is the rule. It doesn't mean that people don't transgress it, but it doesn't mean that by transgressing that they don't get into trouble. So did Indra get into trouble?
Of course.
Yes, so then...
but those guys, I mean, those demigods who lived there and didn't transgress still got into trouble with Bhagavad.
That's explained in the 11th canto. That's the time factor. Because otherwise you're thinking, I'm doing everything right, why is anything going wrong? In other words, why does bad things happen to good people?
Me.
yeah, me, okay. Yeah, that's true. I'm a nice guy, why is things going wrong in my life? Yeah, that probably, it probably wouldn't have sold. So
not as good. No.
Yeah. So that's what the time factor, because you have to remember is that you shouldn't forget we are in the material world. So therefore, then, it's not the underlying there's not, but it means the predominance is that these aren't prominent features. They may be underlying, like goodness is prominent. It's not that there's not some passionate ignorance underlying that. But the prominence, the interactions, the dealings and all that will be on this level. But it's not the underlying, you know, there's something more. Right? Because if it's completely pure goodness, then that's Vaikuntha. So that's a whole different thing, because here it doesn't say that they're going, that the husbands or the men aren't becoming agitated. That it doesn't say. Right? It means that there's a situation, they get agitated. That's one thing, but it's not that they're agitated when there's no situation. You know, it's not like a bunch of nerds sitting in their room with their computers. There's no reason, they just are agitated. Does that make sense? So there's a difference there. But it mentions the Vaikuntha, that when the wives of the denizens are there, they're in the airplanes, and it appears that they're quite cozy, you know, like that. They're like, what do you call it? You know, personal size, not, you know, big. Like that, it says that the wives are crowding their husbands, like that. So that means they're very close and all that, and but still no one gets disturbed, and they just go on talking about Krishna and how wonderful Vishnu is and all that. So we see there, that's pure goodness. Well, here is that basis that, you know, there that it works on that. Right. Does that make sense? So here that means lusty would mean outside of what's appropriate. Right? So then, you know, that with Gotama's wife, that's inappropriate, and he ends up with, you know, a few extra eyes for in return. Right?
Planet,
are they
worshipping Indra? Are they aware of Krishna?
They're all devotees. They are worshipping
Krishna, but they're still engaged.
Yeah, they worship Vishnu. They worship Paramatma. Because they're all serving Paramatma. They're all representatives of Paramatma.
So from there, can they go back to...
They could, but generally in this kind of environment, probably not too many people are so worried about that. Yeah? It means they could, but whether they do is another thing. That's why it's said here the demigods are waiting in line to take birth in this movement, because then very quickly they can go back to Godhead. Because over there, then it's a bit distracting. Okay. Verses 23-36. So we can also understand, you know, this may have something to do with why the demons want to go up there, you know, nicer place.
Yeah.
Down where they are, where the only light's the jewels off the head of the Nagas. They have more opulence and everything, but at the same time, as you know, this element of the sinful, envious, violent, cunning, those things would be there. So then for those who are more refined, then this would be a nicer place. Of course, once they go in, once they go there, then, you know,
mood.
The real estate, you know, values plummet, you know, so yeah. That's Verses 23-36. Bali Maharaj attains Swarga and the Devas flee in fear. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, Bali Maharaj, who was the commander of numberless soldiers, gathered his soldiers outside this abode of Indra and attacked it from all directions. He sounded the conch shell given him by his spiritual master, Sukracharya, thus creating a fearful situation for the women protected by Indra. Seeing Bali Maharaj's indefatigable endeavor and understanding his motive, King Indra, along with the other demigods, approached his spiritual master, Brihaspati, and spoke as follows. My lord, our old enemy Bali Maharaj now has new enthusiasm. and he has obtained such astonishing power that we think that perhaps we cannot resist his prowess. No one anywhere can counteract this military arrangement of Bali's. It now appears that Bali is trying to drink up the entire universe with his mouth, lick up the 10 directions with his tongue, and raise fire in every direction with his eyes. Indeed, he has arisen like the annihilating fire known as Samvartaka. Kindly inform me, what is the cause for Balimars' strength, endeavor, influence, and victory? How has he become so enthusiastic? Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods, said, O Indra, I know the cause for your enemies becoming so powerful. The Brahmana descendants of Bhrigu Muni, being pleased by Balimars, their disciple, endowed him with such extraordinary power. So that's the whole thing to learn from this, is that actually development or advancement comes by the grace of the guru. Him being pleased, then it goes very nicely, right? That's the whole idea. It means we make our endeavor, but it's not our endeavor that actually gets the results. It's the pleasure of the spiritual master and of Krishna that we get our results. Right? We think, no, I worked so hard and I did that. Yes, we did. But the point is the results of that still are given by Krishna. It's still by his mercy. Is that? Yeah. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments to verse 28. Brihaspati said to Indra, the Brahmanas gave as an exchange their own powers to Bali, who had offered them everything out of extreme devotion and faith. Thus it was their power, not Bali's. Therefore it is difficult for you to counteract it. We are not less powerful than them. If we become pleased with your devotion and faith, you will become immediately full of our power and will be able to defeat him. This hint is given by this verse, right? But, unfortunately, here's, you know, that's not necessarily the mood is taken, because so many times he's insulted or ignored or something as spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada adds, Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods, informs Indra, ordinarily Bali and his forces could not achieve such strength, but it appears that the Brahmana descendants of Bhrigu Muni, being pleased with Balimars, endowed them with this spiritual power. In other words, Brihaspati informed Indra that Balimars' prowess was not his own, but that of his exalted guru, Sukracharya. We sing in our daily prayers, Yasya Prasadad Bhagavat Prasado, Yasya Prasadan Nagati Kutopi. By the pleasure of the spiritual master, one can get extraordinary power, especially in spiritual advancement. The blessings of the spiritual master are more powerful than one's personal endeavor for such advancement. Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Kariya Aikya Arana Kariha Mane Ash. Especially for spiritual advancement, one should carry out the bona fide order of the spiritual master. By the Parampara system, one can thus be endowed with the original spiritual power coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Evam Parampara Praptam Imam Rajarshayo Vidhu. Bhagavad Gita 4:2. So that's the point, is the original spiritual power coming from the Lord, coming down through the spiritual, that's how it's gained, right? That's the idea. Please, the spiritual, you're getting Krishna's mercy. That's the system. Brihaspati continued, neither you nor your men can conquer the most powerful Bali. Indeed, no one but the Supreme Personality of Godhead can conquer him. For he is now equipped with the supreme spiritual power, Brahma Tejas. As no one can stand before Yamaraj, no one can now stand before Balimars. Therefore, waiting until the situation of your enemies is reversed, you should all leave this heavenly planet and go elsewhere where you will not be seen. Balimars has now become extremely powerful because of the benedictions given him by the Brahmanas. So in that way, we could also say is he's attained the position of worthiness to be in the heavenly planets. You could also say that. But they're not supposed to be there, but he's obtained that kind of piety. But, you know, still he shouldn't be there. Balimars has now become extremely powerful because of the benedictions given him by the Brahmanas. But when he later insults the Brahmanas, he will be vanquished, along with his friends and assistants. Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 31. Balimars and Indra were enemies. Therefore, when Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods, predicted that Balimars would be vanquished when he insulted the Brahmanas by whose grace he had become so powerful, Balimars' enemies were naturally anxious to know when that opportune moment would come. To pacify King Indra, Brihaspati assured him that the time would certainly come. For Brihaspati could see that in the future, Bali Maharshi would defy the orders of Sukracharya in order to pacify Lord Vishnu, Vamanadeva. Of course, to advance in Krishna consciousness, one can take all risks. To please Vamanadeva, Bali Maharshi risked defying the orders of his spiritual master, Sukracharya. Because of this, he would lose all his property. Yet, because of devotional service to the Lord, he would get more than he expected. And in the future, in the eighth Manvantara, he would occupy the throne of Indra again. Sukadeva Goswami continued. So there it's given is that the spiritual aspect is the powerful. Whether mundane will come along with him, that's up to Krishna. But here is that when it comes down between serving the Lord or mundane aspect with the spiritual master, then serving the Lord is the main, like that. Because Sukracharya, he's following the principle, right? In other words, worshipping the Brahmins, following the Brahmins, it has such power. Let alone now if there's devotion to Krishna. And that's in the devotional parampara. But just that it's the brahminical parampara, it's working so well. Does that make sense? So the power of Brahmins should not be underestimated. Then, so that means if that's so powerful, then how powerful is the position of Vaishnavas? Sukadeva Goswami continued, the demigods, being thus advised by Brihaspati for their benefit, immediately accepted his words. Assuming forms according to the desire, they left the heavenly kingdom and scattered without being observed by the demons. Right? Now they could have said, now they've done something, they've pleased the spiritual master. Is there something we can do to please you? But they didn't say that. They just heard, okay, he'll be defeated in the future and this and that, so they were happy with that. The idea is that, oh, but they've pleased the spiritual master, and so couldn't we please the spiritual master? But it wasn't. That didn't come up. Brihaspati hinted, but they didn't catch.
The qualities of Bali Maharaj, why he got the mercy of Shukracharya, was because he worshipped Shukracharya and worshipped the Brahmins?
Yes. So that's the point. It says, just following the ritualistic elements of the Vedas under the authority of the Brahmins will give so much benefit. You know, we're not saying he's the spiritual benefit here, but his material benefit. His power is so great, even the demigods can't counter it. So that means the blessings, you can't counter that. So that's the point, is that then, but it's still temporary, as we see, it'll be temporary. But that same thing, if that's connected to Vaishnavas, then that gives an eternal result. That gives an eternal benefit. So it's just, we're, you know, going to, you know, step by step. But we can't say, oh, no, but this or that, or we don't have to, or that's archaic, or, oh, you know, I don't have to deal like that, or I don't have to respect. But the point is even the demons get benefit. Right? So if we neglect it, then how things will go nicely. When the demigods had disappeared, Bali Maharaj, the son of Virochana, entered the heavenly kingdom, and from there he brought the three worlds under his control. The Brahmana descendants of Bhrigu, being very pleased with their disciple, would conquer the entire universe, now engaged in performing 100 Ashwamedha yagyas. Footnote 4. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport to verse 34, we have seen in the dispute between Maharaj Prithu and Indra that when Maharaj Prithu wanted to perform 100 Ashwamedha yagyas, Indra wanted to impede him. For it is because of such great sacrifices that Indra was made king of heaven. Here the Brahmana descendants of Bhrigu decided that although Bali Maharaj was situated on the throne of Indra, he would not be able to stay there unless he performed such sacrifices. Therefore they advised Maharaj Bali to perform at least as many Ashwamedha yagyas as Indra. The word Ayajayan indicates that all the Brahmanas induced Bali Maharaj to perform such sacrifices. Right? Because then he's taken the position by the blessings of the spiritual master, but in qualification, you should have done 100 Ashwamedha. So now they're saying for him to do that, then he'll be able to remain there. And so now he has done what it takes to become Indra, so therefore in the eighth Manvantara, then he'll be the next Indra. Because he's ahead of everyone else. Right? So. When Bali Maharaj performed these sacrifices, he gained a great reputation in all directions throughout the three worlds. Thus he shone in his position, like the brilliant moon in the sky. Because of the favor of the Brahmanas, the great soul Bali Maharaj, thinking himself very satisfied, became very opulent and prosperous, and began to enjoy the kingdom. Right, so if Indra simply has to do that, he's already done that, so he's actually qualified to sit there. But not this Manvantara. Footnote 5. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport to verse 36, the Brahmanas are called Dvija Deva, and Kshatriyas are generally called Nara Deva. The word Deva actually refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Brahmins guide human society in becoming happy by satisfying Lord Vishnu, and according to their advice, the Kshatriyas, who are called Nara Deva, keep law and order so that people, namely the Vaishyas and Shudras, may properly follow regulated principles. In this way, people are gradually elevated to Krishna consciousness. So these two aspects between the Dvija Deva and the Nara Deva, then the whole society becomes prosperous because it's guided by the Brahmins to serve the Lord. The Kshatriyas see that the law and order is maintained so that everyone's properly situated. And in this way, then everybody performs their duties and they can gradually be elevated to Krishna consciousness. So, conclusion. The blessings of the spiritual master are more powerful than one's personal endeavor for a spiritual advancement. Right? So that's the whole point to gain, is that by the blessing of the spiritual master, then everything goes nicely. If we don't have that, then things go less nicely. Yeah. Okay, chapter 16. Executing the Payavrata process of worship. Pratigya. One who trains a subordinate or disciple to worship Vasudeva is the truly bona fide spiritual master, because any other method other than devotional service is useless. Right? So if one's going to guide in what is actually the most beneficial. So the spiritual, that's the real benefit. Other things are nice, but they're not actually the real benefit. We learn material skills, some other things that we can use in Krishna's service, but it's Krishna's service is the main thing. Sometimes less intelligent men ask whether one has to approach a guru to be instructed in devotional service for spiritual advancement. That's the doubt. Aditi accepted her husband as her guru so that he would direct her how to advance in spiritual consciousness, devotional service by worshipping the Supreme Lord. Therefore, Krishna is Jagat Guru, and one who teaches the instruction of Krishna as it is, on behalf of Krishna, may be accepted as Jagat Guru. So that's the point, is as it is. As we have gained it, that's how we give it. We don't change it. If we change it, then it comes out, you end up somewhere else. Adhyaya Prakashika. As described in this chapter, because Aditi, the mother of the demigods, was very afflicted, her husband, Kasyapa Muni, told her how to observe vows and austerities for the benefit of her sons. Right? The difficulty is Kasyapa is basically the father of most everybody in the universe. So the demons and the demigods, they're all his children. But Aditi wants to know how to get her children situated nicely, so then he advises. Since the demigods were not visible in the heavenly kingdom, their mother, Aditi, because of separation from them, was very much aggrieved. One day, after many, many years, the great sage Kasyapa emerged from a trance of meditation and returned to his ashram. He saw that the ashram was no longer beautiful and that his wife was very morose. Everywhere in the ashram he saw signs of lamentation. The great sage therefore inquired from his wife about the well-being of the ashram and asked her why she looked so morose. Right, says, the principle is he's out, so she's going to dress in a very simple way and keep things simple. But as soon as she comes back, then there's that happiness. Then one takes bath, dresses nicely and everything. Then it comes back to its normal state, right? But it hasn't there. So he comes in, it's in a lesser state, you know, lesser than would normally be, and she's morose, so there's something wrong. So it's not just the standard keeping life simple while the husband's away. Right? So makes sense. After Aditi informed Kasyapa Muni about the ashram's well-being, she told him that she was lamenting for the absence of her sons. Right, so it means the ashram's going on, it's just somehow or another it's not as that joyous mood. She then requested him to, so what does that also mean? She informed Kasyapa Muni about the ashram's well-being. What does that imply? She's running it. She's managing it. Okay. She told him that she was lamenting for the absence of her sons. She then requested him to tell her how her sons could return and reoccupy their positions. She wanted all good fortune for her sons. Moved by Aditi's request, Kasyapa Muni instructed her in the philosophy of self-realization, the difference between matter and spirit, and how to be unaffected by material loss. But when he saw that Aditi was not satisfied even after he had given these instructions, he advised her to worship Vasudev, Janardana. He assured her that only Lord Vasudev could satisfy her and fulfill all her desires. So then what do we have here is that she's saying how to overcome this problem. So he explains about God realization and how becoming God conscious will solve the problem. Because if you're Krishna conscious, then material problems don't bother you. Right? Because you're what you're looking for in the material, that's coming from Krishna. So then gaining that, then there's no problem. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, but having explained all that, she's still not satisfied. She wants a material solution. But the point is there is no material solution that he can arrange that will actually satisfy. Right? So there is no satisfaction on the material platform in the material world. You perform your duties, you get the best results you can, but seeing it in connection to Krishna, that's what's going to create satisfaction. So therefore then he shows how, okay, approach the Lord by his grace, then you can work out these aspects.
It seems like you standard the coach, his wife's problems, because DT was the same.
Because it is a standard, because there is no material solution to material problems. Mm-hmm. That's the difficulty. You know, it means, but that's why there's duties. So he's taking care of this and that, because he's a great Brahmin in that. This is then how they'll take care of it. You know, if he's a Kshatriya, then he'll go out there and something, but he's not, he's a Brahmin. So, and she's cool. Because, worship the Lord. Perform her particular rituals of worship, and then in this way please the Lord. So she's good with that also, from being that mood. When Aditi then expressed her desire to worship Lord Vasudev, Prajapati Kasyapa told her about a process of worship known as Payovrata, which is executed in 12 days. Lord Brahma had instructed him how to satisfy Lord Krishna by this process, and thus he advised his wife to observe this vow and its regulative principles, right? So 12 days isn't so bad. It's a lot better than, a month or 4 months or, 60,000 years. Yeah.
For one year?
So.
For Indra.
When the Maruts. Well, that's the second time or that's this time?
No, that's the Diti when she wanted to kill.
Diti did that. She did it for a year.
Yeah. And she wanted to kill.
Oh, okay. She wanted to kill Indra, yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, the same approach.
Yeah, same approach. Yeah, but there isn't any other approach. Same person. But no, but I mean just technically there isn't any other approach. It's only through understanding the philosophy that actually one's problems can be there. Of course, there's the support and all that. That's why you see he interacts very nicely and everything. So she's satisfied on that platform. But factually, it's only the philosophical understanding can solve the problem. But it should be presented in a supportive way. It shouldn't be that, only the philosophy, and so it's... No, it has to be proper etiquette, proper dealings with it. Shloka Anusharanam. Verses 1 to 23, Aditi's lamentation. 24 to 62, Kasyapa Muni advises Aditi to perform the Payovrata. Aditi's lamentation. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, O king, when Aditi's sons, the demigods, had thus disappeared from heaven, and the demons had occupied their places, Aditi began lamenting as if she had no protector. After many, many days, the great powerful sage, Kasyapa Muni, arose from a trance of meditation and returned home to see the ashram of Aditi, neither jubilant nor festive. O best of the Kurus, because when you do things auspicious and all that, it's always festive and jubilant and night. That's the point. Yes.
Maharaj, usually when a man does some sacrifice or something, it is recommended that his wife should be with him,
mm-hmm.
so that proper benefit is got. But when the lady does it, she can do it alone?
This is because she's worshipping Vishnu, so that you can do on your own. But these big yajnas and all that, that's husband and wife together.
Okay.
Because women won't do, they have to have others perform for them. So they'll have their Brahmins and everything do. So they may be performing if they're the only Yajaman. But there are certain ones that you have to have husband and wife. So then you'd have to choose which. But this would be worshipping Vishnu, so that doesn't require that. Does that make sense? Yeah. O best of the Kurus, when Kasyapa Muni had been properly received and welcomed, he took a seat and then spoke as follows to his wife, Aditi, who was very morose. Srila Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur points out that in the next 7 verses, 4-10, Kasyapa Muni asked various questions trying to understand the reason for Aditi's lamentation. Kasyapa Muni said, O most gentle one, I wonder whether anything inauspicious has now taken place in regard to religious principles. The Brahmins, or the people in general, who are subject to the whims of death, or my wife, who are very much attached to household life, if the principles of religion, economic development, and satisfaction of the senses are properly followed in household life, one's activities are as good as those of a transcendentalist. I wonder whether there has been any discrepancies in following these principles. Right? So, in other words, we see also here is that instead of just saying, oh, you look unhappy, why are you unhappy? Because then that takes a whole explanation. Where's the endeavor? Right? So here he's pointing out ways in which this kind of unhappiness could come up. Because if he comes up and he touches on any of them, then the wife knows that, okay, then he could relate, then you can explain and get somewhere. But otherwise, if you have to explain from scratch, then, you know, it's not going to be good. So the man's thinking, no, but why does he just say it so straight? But where's the relate? Where's the endeavor? That's the whole idea, is that that endeavor is made. So these are not a method or some method. These are the method. You know, it's just the way it works. So you see, is whenever it has, though you don't see it so often, but because the point is the way it's done. Right? And since men work very nicely on the various formulas and that, but it's that applying it to the situation. So you know these few, then you can apply them. But as you see, you're not necessarily going to be able to say the same exact points. Right? But the point is that the principle is that there. Proper performance of Krishna consciousness, your duties and that will make things go nicely. And if not, then other things will create a problem. So what's there?
Mm-hmm.
Srila Prabhupada's comments to verse 5. Okay, this is, yeah, we won't get anywhere there. Does that make sense? So we see some points here. We see before, who was it? Was it Priyavrata? How he dealt with his wife? There were some points there. So, you know, throughout you see how it's, and then by those who are very elevated, you also see the materialists, how they deal. Same principle, but then the problem is his background is lust, so it's motive passion. While here, then, it's pointing out the principles being applied to the motive goodness. So these are how it works. One could say, oh, but this is too much trouble. So is everything is too much trouble. You know, fixing your car, putting on a new carburetor is too much trouble.
It's less trouble than not doing it.
Yes, it's way less. You know, it's like, you know, you spend, you know, 2 minutes or 3 minutes going through all this, and it saves you 3 minutes here, saves you 3 days of no talk, like that. So it's well worth the investment. But that's the whole point, is that just being asked a question cold, women don't like that. It's just the way it works. It has to be something is there. It's more of options are made, and then you pick. You know, it's like, what would you like to do tonight? No. I was thinking we could go out for dinner, or we could go, you know, visit some friends, or we could stay home. Oh, I think I'd like to stay. You know, we went out, you know. That's the method. So the point is options, right? It's the how you say, eternally, what do you say, authorized and successful process. that's used from top down.
Yes.
Right, you know. I mean, here's the Prajapatis. They're the most pious in the universe, the biggest, just below Brahma. They use it, you know, because that's just the way it works. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premana.